You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Well, this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. If you have a Bible there, you can open it up to Acts chapter 4. We're actually going to be in Acts 4, and then we're going to turn back to Acts chapter 3 as we kind of understand the context of what is happening in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, of course, Jesus has just recently ascended up into heaven, finishing his earthly ministry, and he's left his disciples to carry on the work of the church. He's empowered the church through the Holy Spirit, and now the disciples are going out and they're spreading the gospel, the good news of Christ's death, burial, his resurrection, and God is empowering these disciples by allowing them also to accompany that message through miracles and through signs. And the apostles and the disciples are ministering in this way, and they're healing, and they're preaching the gospel, and they're spreading and sharing the name and the message of Jesus Christ. And this isn't really a popular theme. It's not really a popular message. Of all people and of all groups, it's the religious people of the day who have the biggest problem with this. They don't like the name of Jesus because it's kind of upsetting their religious systems. It's turning some things on its head. It's causing some people to follow these vagabonds and these ragged used-to-be fishermen, following their message of a risen Savior who came to bring redemption. And so they don't really like it. And so we jump into a story here in Acts chapter 4 where we see this scene playing out once again. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 5 if you would. And it came to pass on the morrow, we're going to kind of go back to the day before in a moment in Acts chapter 3 and see the story leading up to this. But it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, here's this group of religious folks, the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, this is speaking of Peter and John, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? What's your authority? Do you come under the authority of Rome? Do you come under the authority of the church? Where do you get your power? Where do you get your authority? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. By the way, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God will always promote Jesus. And so the Spirit of God comes upon Peter, and what does he do? He promotes Jesus. He says unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, that's in Acts chapter 3, we'll take a look at that in a moment, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. We understand that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and that from that cornerstone is built the foundation, and then you and I are built up on that foundation, but all things come back to Jesus. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By the way, they ask two questions and they get one answer. They were asked, by what name and by what power? What is your authority? And the response to both of those is Jesus. What is the name? What is the authority? What is the power? What has given you this ability to heal this man in Acts chapter 3? And the answer is the same. The power and the authority both come from Jesus. Verse 13. Now when they, these religious rulers, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. You ever wonder what gave it away? I don't know. Was it their clothing? Was it their disheveled hair? Was it this fishy smell coming off of these fishermen? But something gave away the fact that these were unlearned and ignorant men. It was pretty obvious. And so these rulers, these religious leaders, marvel. And they took knowledge of them. And here's their assessment. Here's the difference. Here's what made the difference in the lives of these unlearned and ignorant men. They had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. It's amazing the difference that Jesus will make in our lives. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for what we have sung about and how we have worshiped you this morning. The name above all names. You are worthy. What you have done on the cross in our place, Lord, makes you worthy. And so we bow down, we reverence ourselves before you, we worship you in our heart, in our spirit, in our mind, in our body this morning. As we come before your word and these truths, I pray that you would reveal yourself. Help us to see Jesus and to be changed by him. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had a relationship that has changed your life forever? Maybe someone that you've known. Maybe a good friend. For those who are married, most of us would say our spouse has changed us in a good way. For me as a dad, I don't know that there is a relationship that has changed me more than being a father. Those little kids, those three boys, that seven-year-old, that five-year-old, especially that three-year-old, he keeps me spiritual and in prayer, I'll tell you. He keeps me humble. Those children have affected my life. They have, that relationship that I have with my children has literally changed me. I've learned a lot from them. I've learned how to fix sprinklers. I've become pretty good at fixing broken screen doors. I found what gets marker off the walls. I have learned that acetone will get spray paint off the front bumper of a car. It might take off the clear coat, but it gets the paint off. All because of my relationship with those children. I've learned that an iPad makes a great babysitter. You parents who have already raised your children without an iPad, you are my hero. How did you do it? What's your secret? I'm going to confess my sins to you this morning, but there are times when I'm exhausted and when I don't have the answers as a parent, and so I just give them my iPad. Here, leave me alone. Give me a moment. I've learned as a parent that a family vacation is less about where you go and more about who you go with. I've learned that even a small nightlight can make the greatest difference in the heart of a child as they try to go to sleep at night. My relationship, I have changed because of my relationship with those three boys. You know, it's amazing. The relationship that you and I have with Jesus is a transforming relationship. It's a relationship that doesn't leave us the same. You will not be the same because of Jesus. You and I have been transformed, and we should continually be being transformed because of that relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, our position is in Christ. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised again with him. We are now positionally in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He is a new creation. It has the idea of being metamorphosed, to be completely changed and transformed from the inside out. And now because of my position in Jesus Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our past is gone. We are becoming new. Because of that relationship and that connection that I have to Jesus, I am becoming new. I have a new identity. I am no longer defined by my sin. I am no longer defined by my past. I am now defined by what Christ has done on my behalf. My identity is now in Christ. I am no longer in Adam. I am no longer in my sin. My sin was placed on Christ on the cross, and now I am dead to that old man. Paul says in Romans that the old man was crucified. The body of sin has been destroyed, so that identity is now gone. And I have a new identity in Jesus Christ. I was lost, now I'm found. I was a rebel, now I'm redeemed. I was a slave to sin, now I'm a slave to righteousness. It's an identity because of what Christ has done on my behalf. I have new desires. Jesus has placed in me new appetites. The Holy Spirit's job is to magnify Jesus, to promote Jesus, to draw us to Christ, to draw us to that likeness that we have in Christ, to promote the righteousness of God that has been placed within us. And so the Holy Spirit is working within me, creating new desires, creating a new purpose. Fulfillment is now no longer found in myself. Pleasure is no longer found in the things that I can gain from this world. Now my truest desires, my truest pleasures, my truest gains are found in Christ. Jesus gave us the paradox that if we try to find our life, we'll lose it. If we pursue life in a career, in a family, in things, in status, in money, we're going to find that we actually lose life in pursuit of those things. But when we instead lose our life in Jesus, in the gospel, and in His sake, and for His sake, we will find it. We will find true life because Jesus will become our life. Your relationship with Jesus will lead to continual transformation. Not only did Jesus transform you in a moment, at the moment that you accepted Him as your Savior, that we would call that justification. That in that moment, He justified us. In that moment, He set us apart and he set us into Himself. And so now we are in Christ. But also, there is a continual transformation that is taking place. There is this process of sanctification, becoming more and more who we already are in Christ. And it's a process that takes a lifetime. And aren't you thankful that God is patient in that process? You know, you are not where you will... God is leading you to a place where you are not yet. And He is working on things in your life right now, and He has plans to work on things later on in your life that He hasn't even touched yet. And He's patient with you, and He's patient with me. And He's drawing us to Himself, and He's leading us more and more into His image. No one has arrived. But a growing Christian should always be able to look back and see change. They should be able to look back and say, you know, there are some things in my life that are different because of my relationship with Jesus. So we get back to the story of Peter and John. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the rulers, the scribes, the religious leaders look at Peter and John. They see the boldness. They perceive that they're unlearned and ignorant men, and they say there's something different about these guys. They've been with Jesus. What a testimony. What a testimony for someone to look at Peter and John and say, you know what the difference is for them? You know what has made the change in their lives? Jesus. What if someone could look at us and say the same? Can they? Do they look at us and say, you know the difference in that person's life? It's not them. I know them. It's not them. It's not that they've worked up a bunch of goodness and they've kind of cleaned themselves up and they've bettered themselves and they've produced this self-righteousness. It's not them. It's something apart from them. It's someone greater than them. It's someone who has enabled them and empowered them and is infusing them with this boldness to speak up and to speak out. So Peter and John, the difference for them is that they had been with Jesus. What do we see in the life of Peter and John that changed? What is it that transformed? What is it that metamorphosed because of their relationship with Jesus? And by the way, if Jesus has changed us, then He also wants to continually be changing us. So again, it ought to be that we are seeing change take place in our lives. We should be becoming more and more like Christ and less like us. That's the difference that Jesus will make in our lives. So what is it that changed for Peter and John? What is the greatest manifestation that we see here that Peter and John had been with Jesus? I believe it's actually found in the chapter before, in chapter 3, which is really the beginning of this story in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is just what took place the day after what took place in chapter 3. You see, in chapter 3 in verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What I believe changes when we begin to spend time with Jesus is our relationship and our perspective toward people. What will change as a result of your relationship with Jesus is how you treat people. You see, this is a different Peter in Acts chapter 3. If you recall back into the Gospels, and if you think back on the life of Peter and the life of the disciples as they followed Jesus, throughout the Gospel, there's really no recorded act of Peter directly and compassionately having contact with people. He's a bystander. He's following Jesus. He's listening to the teachings of Jesus. But as far as a scene like we see here in Acts chapter 3, where he is moved to stop and to fasten his eyes on this man and to reach out and to touch this man and to heal this man and to give this man, to introduce this man to Jesus, you don't see this taking place before the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. It's a different Peter. The closest we come is in Luke chapter 8, where the woman with the issue of blood is trying to make her way to Jesus, and there's a crowd and there's a great group of people surrounding Jesus, and this woman touches the garment of Jesus, and Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And Peter's there with the disciples, and in Luke chapter 8, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitudes thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" It's as if Peter and the disciples couldn't see the individual for the crowd. They couldn't see the one because of the crowd that surrounded Jesus. But now, fast forward to Acts chapter 3, you find Peter stopping and ministering to one certain man, one unnamed man, one man who could give nothing in return, one man who economically, financially, and even physically had nothing that he could give back to Peter. But now Peter sees value in this one. When before he was caught up in the ministry of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus, and maybe it was the crowds, maybe it was the popularity, maybe it was all of the miracles that were going on, but he was far less concerned with the one then than he is now. I believe that our relationship with people is directly related to our relationship with God. And as we get close to Jesus and allow that relationship to transform us and to change us, it will manifest itself in the way that we treat people. It will manifest itself in the way that we love people and deal with people and forgive people. You see, Peter in this passage in Acts chapter 3 was not partial toward this man. This passage says that this was a certain man. He doesn't even get a name in this passage. He had no finance. He had no physical strength. He had to be carried and laid at this gate. But it didn't matter what his status was in society. Peter was willing to stop and to spend time with this man and to minister to this man, to encourage this man, and to introduce this man to Jesus. How quickly do we measure people up and categorize people? How quickly do we look at one and say, that person I'll spend time with, that person I will minister to, that person I will share Jesus with, but that person I won't? How quickly do we categorize and marginalize and try to differentiate between people when God says, "I love them all"? Doesn't matter if it's a certain man. It doesn't matter if it's a man that gets a name, a man that has wealth, a man that doesn't have a name, a man that doesn't have wealth. I'm reminded of what James teaches us in James chapter 2. He says, "And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith to him, Sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts?" James labels thinking like that as evil. Evil thoughts that would be partial towards one and not accepting toward another. But what happens when we end up spending time with Jesus is that we find that Jesus is not partial towards people. And so we realize, hey, I shouldn't be partial towards people either. So Peter was not partial toward this man. It didn't matter that he was a certain man. Peter was willing to prioritize this man over his schedule. He was on his way into the temple. He was on his way to do spiritual things. It was the hour of prayer. And yet that was not a good enough excuse to keep him from ministering to this man. You know, people can be really inconvenient. They tend to come to us at midnight, Pastor. They tend to come to us at inopportune times. They tend to come to us when we're not ready to serve them. But it shouldn't be that our schedule gets in the way of serving others. It shouldn't be that our schedule gets in the way of sharing Jesus with someone else. Because if God was willing to come to us, we ought to be willing to go to them. And it's that relationship with Jesus that begins to transform and change our perspective toward people. He wasn't partial toward this man. He wasn't inconvenienced by this man. And Peter was intentional in his relationship with this man. Notice what the Bible says there in Acts chapter 3 in this passage, right in verse number 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him. You know, eye contact can be awkward. Anybody else want to admit that you really like to use the self-checkout line at Walmart? Anybody else? Because I really like to use that. I'd rather not go through the line with the teller. Why is that? Well, we don't want to be inconvenienced by people. We don't want to make eye contact with people. We don't want to be intentional in our relationships. But here's a Peter that before, boy, he was really attracted to Jesus, and he was really enjoying the ministry of Jesus and the healings of Christ and the teachings of Christ, and he was all about the big scene and he was all about the crowds. But when it came to the one woman who had the issue of blood, he didn't even notice her. But now in Acts chapter 3, he's stopping and he's fastening his eyes upon this man. He's being intentional in this relationship. As Christians, we ought to be intentional. As followers of Jesus, as those who have been recipients of the grace of God, we ought to be intentional in our relationships with people. When's the last time we listened instead of talked? When's the last time we allowed someone to bear their burden to us, and rather than just trying to fix it and be quick to give a response, we just let them bear their burden to us and we just love them in that moment? When's the last time we got a waiter or a waitress's name and used it and was polite toward that one? Well, yeah, but they're serving me. Yeah, but they're a person too. And as Christians, we ought to be kind. We ought to be intentional. And I know that even for myself sometimes, I could do a lot better at this. But I'll tell you what will change our intentionality with people. It'll be our relationship with Jesus. Because as I understand my relationship with Jesus, I understand that He is intentional with me. And He is not partial toward me. And He is not too busy for me. And so what I have received from Christ, my relationship with Jesus, is now transforming and changing my relationship with people. And so now I'm not partial towards people. And now I'm not too hurried for people. And now I am intentional with people because that is what I have received from God. Where did all this change for Peter? We've got Luke chapter 8, Peter. We've got Acts chapter 13, Peter. What's the difference? Where did it click? Where did it change for Peter? Well, if I were to guess, it happened on the seashore at Tiberias, just a few moments after Christ raised from the dead. You see, Jesus was crucified and he was buried, and Peter got discouraged and he went back to fishing. He went back to his old job, took some of the disciples with him. And he's out on the lake of Tiberias, and he's fishing, and he's casting out his nets, and he's gone all night. And early in the morning, Jesus walks out on the seashore. And Peter recognizes that it's Jesus. He jumps out of the boat. He swims to the shore. And when he gets to the shore, Jesus has prepared breakfast for him. They eat. No doubt there were some awkward silence, because Peter, just a few days before, had denied Christ three times, as was predicted. But they get done eating, and in John chapter 21 and verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I can picture Peter probably with his head down because he was disappointed in himself. He was disappointed in his actions, that he couldn't stand up and be the strong type A leader that he was. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus responds, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And then a third time, in verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. What was Jesus doing here? Why this conversation? Why three times? Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Okay, love people. Feed my sheep. Treat people well. Simon, do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Love people. Go from your relationship with me to your relationship with people. Allow the relationship that you have with me to transform and change the relationship that you have with people. You see, your love for God will be seen in how you love people. The evidence of your love for God will be seen in the way you love people. And as you draw close to Jesus, His passion will become your passion. You will begin to see what you have received from Him, the unconditional love, the forgiveness, the undeserved grace. And as you understand and discover that relationship with Jesus that you are a recipient of, you will begin to share that and show that to others. And now, since you have received an unconditional acceptance and love, you will give an unconditional acceptance and love. And because you have been forgiven, you will be able to show forgiveness. And because you have been received, you will be able to receive others. It's not because you're so great. It's not because I'm so great. It's not because we figured this thing out. It's because we have been recipients of grace, and so now we can be givers of grace. It is a relationship with Jesus that has transformed us. And our relationship with Him changes the way that we relate to others. If Jesus values people, then as you love Jesus and value Jesus, you will begin to value what He values. It's not that Peter went through a How to Love People Better training course. It's not that Peter read a book or went to a conference on how to win friends and influence people. Peter didn't just make some behavioral modifications. Peter understood the connection and the relationship between his relationship with Jesus and his relationship with people. The more you allow Jesus to transform you, the more it will transform the way you deal with people. The more it will transform the way you love people. I think Jesus outlined this for us in Matthew chapter 22 when he gave us the greatest and the second commandment. Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. The second is like unto it. As if they're connected. As if you could almost say that this is commandment 1A and commandment 1B. That your love for God, your passion for God, your heart for God will also lead to a heart and a passion for people. Christians should not be unloving people because you have been changed by the love of God, and that love that you have received from God ought to be displayed in the way that you love people. And so Christians ought to be some of the most gracious people, some of the most loving people, some of the most friendly people because of our relationship with God. The greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, we love people from the gospel. You know, the gospel is good news. You can sum up the gospel in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God made Jesus our sin, so that we, through Jesus, could be made his righteousness. God became our sin so that we could become his righteousness. That's the gospel. When I say that you are in Christ, that is the gospel. You are in his righteousness. You have exchanged your sin for his righteousness. And so now, because of your position, now because of your relationship with Jesus, you are a changed person. You are a transformed person. So what we have received from God, we now go and share with others. So we love people from the gospel. So what have you received from the gospel? You have received an unconditional forgiveness. No strings attached. So because you have received an unconditional forgiveness, you can display an unconditional forgiveness. You say, well, you don't understand how that person has hurt me. You don't understand what they did or what they said. Let me ask you, how conditional was your forgiveness from God? Because I don't forgive in my own strength. I don't forgive in my own power. I'm not saying muster up the strength to forgive. I'm saying go to the gospel, see the forgiveness you have received, and display that same forgiveness toward the one who has hurt you. You love people, you forgive people from the gospel, from that relationship that you have with Jesus. What kind of love have you received from the gospel? Well, it's an unconditional love. It's a sacrificial generosity. Well, if you have received a sacrificial love from God, then simply display that kind of sacrificial love toward others. A love that doesn't ask for something in return. A love that doesn't say, I will give if you... No, there's no conditions on it. It is a love that was completely received. It was an unmerited love. It was a love that was received in spite of who you are and in spite of who I am, not because of who we are and because of what we've done. And so we love people from the gospel. Again, our relationship with people is directly related to our relationship with God. My relationship with God transforms me and shows me the kind of a love. It shows me the type of a kindness. It shows me what a generosity should look like. It shows me what a forgiveness should look like. He became our sin so that we could be made right with God. Let me ask you this morning, how's your relationship with Jesus? You might say, well, I think it's pretty good. I think I've got a good relationship. I'm in church this morning. Well, then let me ask you this. How is your relationship with people? Because your relationship with people will be directly related to your relationship with God. And as you are in communion and fellowship and in love with God, it will be displayed and manifested in how you treat people. I can always tell when I'm drifting from my relationship with Jesus because I start to get irritated toward people. I start to get irritated toward my wife or toward my children or toward others. I start to see people as an inconvenience rather than someone that I can demonstrate and show the love of Christ to. Because my relationship with people is directly related to my relationship with God. Jesus is in the life-changing business. That's what he does. He transforms us. He transforms us in a moment. When we receive him as our Savior, we become his righteousness and he becomes our sin. He takes our sin on the cross and he destroys that sin so that we can now be made right with God and be in Jesus Christ so that we are in right standing with God through Christ. Not through ourselves, not through a church, not through our own self-righteousness, but because of his righteousness. That happens in a moment. That happens in an instant. And if you've not made that decision to enter into that relationship, that can happen for you today. But it's not over. That's not the end of that relationship. He wants to continually be changing you and transforming you and conforming you more into the likeness of the righteousness that you received at your salvation. More into the likeness of him and less into the likeness of you. And so that relationship is continually changing us. When I think of Peter and John, and when I think of what God did in their lives, and when I think of how their lives changed, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious rulers took note of them that they had been with Jesus. What was the difference? What was the change? What brought about that boldness and that willingness to preach Jesus? What had changed in their life was their perspective toward people. What changed in their life was their willingness to be intentional with people, to be impartial towards people, to not be inconvenienced by people. So is Jesus changing you? How's your relationship with Him? Are you drawing close to Him? And as you draw close to Him, is it changing the way that you treat others? I would ask you this morning, if that relationship that you see with people is not what it should be, would you be willing to draw closer to Jesus? Because as you draw closer to Him, that relationship with others will change. If you've never entered into a relationship with Christ, if you've never made that decision to allow His righteousness to be imparted to you and for Him to receive and to take your sin, you can do that today. It's the greatest transaction that will ever take place in your life. It's the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. That you will yield yourself and submit yourself to Christ and allow Him to take your sin so that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus. If you've not done that, I would encourage you, do that today. Do that this morning. Allow your relationship with Christ to change you. Father, we thank You for who You are. Lord, we're grateful to You for the change that You have made and for the change that You are continually making. Lord, I pray that You would help us to stay in close proximity to You, to allow that relationship to change us. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know You, they don't know that their sin has been forgiven, it's been pardoned, it's been cleansed, it's been taken care of. They don't need to try to work themselves out of sin. They don't not need to try to work themselves to You. Lord, I pray that they would make the decision to receive You and to receive the gift of Your salvation. I pray that we would be a people who are known for the way that we love others and the way that we treat others and our kindness toward others. And may that just be a direct reflection of our relationship with You. And Lord, we'll thank You for what You do, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.